And I want you, if you would, to turn to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we are planning to be, or at least I feel like the Lord would have us to be here in the book of Revelation for a couple Sundays. Today, I want to deal with a subject from the book of Revelation that may cause our minds to go towards what we are celebrating this weekend. And the honor towards those who have given their lives and remembering those who have served our country, are serving our country. And then those who have, have given their lives for the freedoms that we have. And then in Sundays to come, as long as the Lord continues this thought on my heart, we're going to be back here in the book of Revelation to talk about some invitations that God gives us from this book. That has been the theme of our year this year. On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about invitations that God has given to us in His Word, and it goes along with our theme this year of come and see, invitations that God has given to His children. But today, I want to look at Revelation chapter number 14 in our Bibles, and I want to talk about a beatitude that God gives here in Revelation chapter number 14. So a blessing that is found in the book of Revelation, a beatitude. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, there are found in this book seven beatitudes in the book of Revelation, seven specific blessings that God pronounces in the book of Revelation. So seven beatitudes. This is the second one that's mentioned in this book of the seven. So we have number two out of seven that are mentioned in this book right here in Revelation chapter number 14 and verse number 13. Now the New Testament of our Bible begins with the book of Matthew. We've got the four Gospels. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us that Jesus gives a Sermon on the Mount. It starts in Matthew chapter number 5. And in Matthew chapter number 5, we see a series of beatitudes or a series of blessings that our Savior, that Jesus, during His earthly ministry, pronounced on people that would meet the conditions of this blessing that He wants to give to them. So I said that about the book of Matthew to say that the New Testament of our Bible, the book of Matthew, begins with beatitudes for the living, for those who are alive. But the book of Revelation, which finishes the New Testament of our Bible, is going to give to us seven beatitudes. We will not touch on all seven of those. We're going to concentrate on this one that's in Revelation chapter number 14 here this morning. But the book of Revelation, the end of the New Testament, gives us a series of beatitudes for the dying, for those who have either died or for those who are considering the fact that one day they will die and go into eternity. So New Testament starts off with beatitudes for the living, and the book of Revelation, to finish off the New Testament, ends with beatitudes for the dying. This particular one that we're going to look at here in Revelation chapter number 14 is a beatitude about those who have died. Now the Bible is talking about future days, and so we know these people that He is talking about who have died have not died yet, because it's speaking of prophecy or future days that are to come, but it's a beatitude that addresses those who have died. And it makes my mind go to this weekend that we are celebrating, Memorial Day. And I think of Memorial Day, we talked about it already this morning in our service, I think of Memorial Day being more than just picnics. Although I'm sure there'll be times where people will get together tomorrow maybe perhaps, or sometime this week, maybe even today, and have a time of a picnic or a get-together with one another, with family and friends. But it's more than just picnics. It's more than just a get-together. For young people, it's more than just a day off school, although they are excited about it. Because I already talked to them on the church bus this morning and how excited they were to think about tomorrow, even though school's about to come to an end, though. Tomorrow they're going to get a day off, and so they're excited about that. Memorial Day is more than just the unofficial start of summer. I know some people refer to Memorial Day as being, well, this is the unofficial start of summer. It's more than just that. We honor, don't we? And we remember all of the United States soldiers who have died serving their country. And we remember and honor those who have served and those who are serving our country even in this present day. And so it does remind us of the fact that there are some who have given their lives for our country. They have died. They have gone into eternity because of the fact that they were serving our country. And so this beatitude here, when it speaks of those who have died, it's going to give to us today, or I'll say it this way. It will give to the child of God today. So if you know Jesus as your Savior today, and you've called upon Him and you've trusted Him as Savior, it will give to the child of God today comfort, not only when we consider that someday our day and time on this earth will come to an end, but it gives us comfort when we think of the children of God who are our loved ones, who have gone to be with the Lord already in death. And so this passage of Scripture is speaking about the end of a believer's life. What is going to happen when their life comes to an end? And the Bible refers to it in a way of a beatitude. God gives to us a blessing in this passage of Scripture. Would you look down with me? I hope you found your place in Revelation chapter 14. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 13 with me, if you would. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven." Now we're going to give you the context. We're going to give you the setting of this passage of Scripture here in just a moment. What time are we speaking of? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's read the verse first. Verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me." Now, number one, we want to remember that this voice is coming from heaven. The Bible does not identify who this voice is. So we don't know who is speaking these words. We just know it is a voice, not identified, but it's a voice that is coming from heaven. And this voice is speaking to a man named John. You say, well, how do we know it's speaking to John? Because the Bible tells us that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Revelation while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He wrote this book for us, a book of prophecy, where we could see things that are going to take place in days to come because God gave to him this scripture, this book that we read today. So John is hearing this voice from heaven. And notice what the voice says. "Write, blessed are the dead." Now remember, he's writing these things for us so that we can read them today. So this voice tells him to write this down. Write this down. Look what he's to write down. "Blessed," there's the beatitude, the blessing that God has. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit," now notice the end of the verse, "that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Now let's pause just for a moment and let's give you the setting or the context of Revelation chapter number 14. This is a period of time that we understand and we believe as the tribulation period. Jesus Christ is going to come and rapture the church, those who are saved from this world at a time called, we call it, the Bible refers to that without the word rapture, but it refers to us as a rapture of a church. We're going to meet the Lord in the air for those that are Christians. And we're going to get to that, by the way, in just a moment. This time period where the church is raptured out and we meet the Lord in the air, after that, there is going to be a 7-year period called the tribulation period. Judgment that is going to take place on this earth that has never been seen to that magnitude before. Great judgment that is going to take place on this earth. Well, during this time, the Bible speaks about it in Revelation chapter number 7, and then it refers to it again here in Revelation chapter 14, although we won't take the time to read all of those verses. The Bible tells us that there are going to be 144,000 believers, Jews, that have put their faith and trust in the Lord during that period of time, who the Bible says are going to proclaim the truth. These 144,000 believers are going to proclaim the truth. The Bible says that they are going to be witnesses, which means that they have received something and they want to give it out to somebody else. They want to be a witness to something that God has done in their hearts. And the Bible tells us that they are going to be preaching the gospel. And there are going to be people who are going to come to know Christ as their Savior during the tribulation. Now, it is my conviction, it is my belief that those who on earth here have heard the gospel and rejected it will not be in this group. They will not respond to the gospel because they've already heard it on earth and they've already pushed it away. They've already rejected it. And the Bible tells us the Antichrist is going to come during this time and he's going to cause a strong delusion, which means that those who have heard the gospel already, they've already rejected it and there's going to be a strong delusion. And so those that have already heard the gospel and rejected it are not going to be in this group. But the Bible does tell us there is going to be a group during the time of the tribulation period who are going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And because they come, because they are saved during the tribulation period, they are going to go through great persecution. They are going to be martyred. But the Bible tells us even after they're martyred for their faith, they're going to be delivered by God because they're going to get to spend eternity with Him. And this is where we're at in Revelation chapter number 14. This is the group of people that have heard the message. They've heard the preaching of the gospel. And they've responded to it. And now the Bible says that they've been delivered after going through great persecution, after going through a time of being martyred or giving their life for Jesus Christ. They're delivered because they are here in heaven. And this is what we find in Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13. Now, you might at this moment say, all right, well, if this is speaking in Revelation chapter 14 about those who are going to be saved and come to know Christ during the tribulation period, what does this have to do with us today? Well, even though these words in Revelation chapter number 14 are for those who died during the tribulation, there is still encouragement in this verse for every saint throughout every generation. And that's what we want to look at today because it gives us hope when we think about what happens to the believer when they die and go to spend eternity with the Lord. Here's the encouragement this morning. For the believer, death is not the end. Death is the beginning of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So right now we are walking by faith, but one day our faith is going to become sight. And so for the Christian, for the believer, when we go into eternity, it's not the end, it's the beginning. And the Bible refers to it this way. I don't know if you noticed in Revelation chapter number 14, but it says it this way in verse 13, blessed are the dead. Remember we said that God is giving a blessing here. There's a voice from heaven. This is relayed to John. He's to write it down. There's a blessing. But wait a minute. It's almost as if it doesn't make sense. How can it be that death can bring a blessing? Well, we have to go on in the verse to see the key to all of this. Here's the reason why death can have a blessing with it. Because verse 13 says this, blessed are the dead, now look at the next few words, which die in the Lord. That means that the key to all of this is those who have died in the Lord. God says for eternity there are blessings. And so the message this morning that I want to share to you is this, with you is this, and if you're in the habit of writing things down, I would encourage you to write down these blessings that await us in heaven. These blessings that we know are true of the saints of God who have already gone to heaven. And if we know Christ as our Savior, when we go to heaven and the opportunity we have from the book of Revelation to be able to see these blessings. Number one, I want you to notice this morning the blessing, number one, of reunion. The blessing of reunion. There might be some of you that have had opportunities before to attend maybe a reunion of some sort. Maybe it's been a class reunion. And while you were at the class reunion, you looked around and you said, why does it look like everybody else got older? I don't seem like I've gotten older at all. And you're looking around at everybody else. They got older, right? You attest to that, right? That all the class members, they got older and you stayed the same, right? Maybe it's a family reunion. But I'm telling you, that reunion that's going to take place in heaven will be a reunion like none other. If you're right now in your mind considering folks that you know that have gone into eternity, and they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you know Christ as your Savior, one day the Bible says we are going to be reunited with those people that have gone to be with the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will. We're going to stay mostly in the book of Revelation. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 4 for just a moment? Revelation chapter number 4, and notice with me, if you would, verse number 1. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us as part of this vision, this prophecy that God is giving to John, he enables him to start to see things that are going to take place in the future. So these have not happened yet. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said," look at the next two words, "come up hither." Now you talk about an invitation, right? We've been talking about invitations throughout the year of 2024. What an invitation this is going to be, right? When Jesus says to his bride, when Jesus says to his children, "come up hither," he's coming and we're going to get to meet him in the air. Look at what it says at the end of verse number 1. He says, "come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." You say, all right, will you clarify this for me if you would? What is Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1 speaking about? It's speaking about an event we call the rapture of the church, where the Bible says that Jesus is going to be in the air. And the Bible says the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible gives us the comfort of that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's a passage of scripture at the end of that chapter. Look at it later if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse number 51. There's an encouragement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as well, starting in verse number 13. Look at that later if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse number 1, we see some great encouragements that God gives us about the rapture. He says, yeah, right now we've got an earthly tabernacle. That's called our body. But God's going to one day take away this earthly tabernacle, and we're going to get to be in that heavenly place, that heavenly mansion that God has prepared for us. And then if you would, take the time to look at John chapter 14. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus gives a promise during his earthly ministry here. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." But right before he says that, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Bible's talking about this thought of a rapture, that we're going to get to meet the Lord again in the air for those that have put their faith and trust in Christ. This is the blessing of a reunion that's going to take place. Would you just consider this reunion with me for just a moment? Those that you've lost through death that were believers, again, reunited with them. Think about the opportunity we're going to have to see our Savior, to see our Savior when we get to heaven. Think about the opportunity we're going to have to get to see the saints that we've read about in the Bible. And I'm going to want to ask them some questions, aren't you? You're probably going to want to ask them some questions. "Hey, I read about that, and I just want to know what happened there. Can you give me some details about that?" The Bible, the old saints of the Scripture that we read about, and we're going to be reunited with them one day. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation 22. And I want you to notice a phrase that is given to us three times here in Revelation 22. Three times we see this. And it reminds us of this reunion that's going to take place. It reminds us of the rapture that's going to take place and the blessings of the rapture. Look at Revelation 22 and look with me if you would at verse number 7. He says these words, "Behold, I come quickly." What's Jesus trying to say to us? He's coming back, isn't he? We sang it just a moment ago. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. One thing we know is he is coming, isn't he? We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know the time, but we do know he is coming. His return is imminent. There's going to be a rapture that's going to take place, and there's the blessing of the reunion that's going to happen with that. Look down, if you would, at verse number 12. Verse number 12. "And behold," what does he say? "I come quickly." Look with me, if you would, at verse number 20. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 20. "And," excuse me, "he which testified these things, saying, Surely I come quickly. By the way, in our messages to come, if the Lord continues this in my heart in Sunday mornings to come, we're going to get to dive into these thoughts just a little bit more here in Revelation chapter number 22. And we're going to get to see some more truths about this in Revelation 22. But it's the idea of the blessing of a reunion that's going to take place. Now, would you go back to Revelation 14 for a moment? Revelation chapter 14, I want you to notice the second blessing. So blessing number two for us this morning is the blessing of rest. The blessing of rest. Number one, for those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will die in the Lord Jesus Christ, or if we're raptured up to meet Him in the air, number one, there's the blessing of a reunion. But number two, there is the blessing of rest. And the Bible talks about it here in Revelation 14 and verse number 13. Notice what it says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Now watch the next few words with me, if you would, in verse number 13. That they may rest from their labors. Number two, there is the blessing of rest. Now, would you take time to turn back in Revelation to chapter 7? Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter number 7. Now, just a moment ago when I was talking to you about those 144,000 Jewish believers that would become witnesses during the tribulation, I mentioned that they are addressed in chapter 7 as well. So if you would go back to Revelation chapter 7 for just a moment and look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Now that's a crowd, isn't it? I mean, if you're looking around and you say, I can't even number it, what a crowd that would be. So this is a crowd that cannot even be numbered. It's like trying to number the stars, right? You go outside, you say, well, lost track. Let me start at one again here. You can't number the stars, right? He talked about how that he's got all the stars numbered, but we can't number them. He said, there's a crowd so big that you can't even number it. Notice what the Bible says they are doing. He says, no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and they stood before the throne. Now, first of all, before we get any further in this passage, I know this has nothing to do with this message, but it's a great truth. Just what we read about there in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9 shows us that God loves everyone. And the gospel is available for anyone. Anybody can receive the gospel, he said, of every kindred and every nation and every people and every tongue. That is the group that can put their faith and trust in Christ. It's anyone, right? Anyone. He died because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And if you come to him, remember we studied it last Sunday, he'll in no wise cast you out. He wants you to be saved, and that is open to everyone. But then look at what it says this group is doing. Watch this. They stood before the throne. That's a throne of God. What a great place to be, right? Standing before the throne of God with a group that can't even be numbered. Now watch this in verse 9. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You say, all right, well, what is this group? What are we talking about here? Remember that 144,000 witnesses that went around? Well, they started to see people as they were witnessing. They started seeing people come to Christ during that tribulation period. The Bible says they went through great persecution, and then the Bible tells us they were martyred for their faith, and now they're standing before the Lord. They're standing before the throne. Now, I got you to this passage of Scripture because now I want you to see what God does for them. All right, they're standing before the throne of God. These are, again, dead saints, saints who have gone to be with the Lord in future days. John is telling us about this. What does the Bible say God does for them as they're standing before the throne of God? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 16. They shall hunger no more. Yes, on earth here during the great tribulation, they may have gone through persecution and a very difficult time because it's going to be judgment unlike any other time that's ever happened in the history of our world when the tribulation takes place. And so, yes, there was a time of hunger. But the Bible says that Jesus says to them, you're going to hunger no more. Now watch this at the end, at verse 16. Neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What does the Bible say that God does for these saints? Number one, He is feeding them, isn't He? He is feeding them. He is taking care of their needs. They were persecuted here on earth, But now that they've died in Jesus Christ, the Bible says he is feeding them. But did you notice another thing he's doing? He is leading them. He's feeding them. He is leading them. And then the Bible tells us he wipes away every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more sorrow in their eyes. Yes, there might have been persecution while they were down there on earth, but God says, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. So what's the thought here this morning? They found rest in the Lord, didn't they? They may not have had rest while they were down here on earth going through the tribulation and all the persecution and judgment that they were facing, but when they got to heaven, they found rest in the Lord. Now, there are people today that certainly desire rest for different reasons. Some may desire rest because of long hours of labor. I mean, just think about sometimes the labor that goes into a day. The toil and the labor and work. And some will say just at the end of the day, it's just nice to have some rest, right? Because you've gone through a long day. So there's some that desire rest because of long hours of labor. There's some that desire rest because of enduring hard trials. They've gone through hard trials and they're saying, I've gone through all of this trial and it would be just good to just have some rest. Maybe some that would desire rest because of years of sickness. And they've gone through just years of sickness in their life and they would say, I would just desire some rest. Let's put it in perspective for this weekend that we're thinking about, remembering and honoring. Think about soldiers who would desire rest when they were fighting for the freedoms that we get to enjoy today. If I could just have some rest, maybe some time away from battle, some time away from war, some time with my family, just desiring some rest. Well, heaven will be a place of long-awaited rest. Think about what Jesus says to us in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. He says for us here on earth, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. That is rest for the living while we're here on earth. But heaven is the place of rest for all of eternity. Now, there's something we have to note when we think about rest in eternity. It is a blessing that we have rest. But if you would quickly go with me in chapter number 7 again now to verse number 15 first, and then we're going to go to another verse, and we're going to notice something in heaven that we will not rest from. Now, this is an encouragement here this morning. Something we will not rest from. Would you look at verse number 15 if you would? We're still in Revelation 7. Therefore, are they before the throne of God, notice what it says, and serve him day and night in his temple. Aren't you glad that heaven is a place of rest, but heaven is not a place of rest from serving our Savior? For all of eternity, we are going to get to serve our Savior. Hey, fall in love with it now. Fall in love with serving Jesus now because you're going to get to serve him day after day after day for all of eternity, the Bible says. But then would you look back quickly at verse number 10, chapter 7 and verse number 10, and cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. What is this telling us? Well, this is telling us that there is one thing that we will not rest from. We will not rest from worshiping our Savior. For all of eternity, yes, we'll have heavenly rest. And it'll be long-awaited rest. Maybe it's from a sickness, or maybe it's from a battle we talked about with our soldiers, or long hours of labor, or some type of a trial that you've endured. Yes, heaven will be long-awaited rest for that. But we will not rest from serving our Savior. And we will not rest from worshiping our Savior. Aren't you thankful that we get to do that for all of eternity? But would you go back to chapter 14 for just a moment? Because we got to get our minds on a serious thought here. We got to get our minds on a serious thought here for just a moment. Look at Revelation chapter 14. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 9. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 9. I want you to notice that there is rest. There is rest that the Bible promises for those who die in the Lord. But what about those who die lost? What about those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, God said this, I didn't. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast. Now, remember, there's going to be a beast. There's going to be an image that people during this time can take. That means they've chosen to worship the beast instead of worshiping the Savior. And the Bible tells us those that are in that category are going to receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now this is speaking again of the tribulation period. Look at what happens in verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no, what's the next word? Rest. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying there is opposite, there is a contrast between those who have put their faith and trust in Christ when they rest in heaven with Christ and those who are lost. The Bible says there will be no rest for them at all. It's going to be nothing but torment, nothing but torture for all of eternity. And here's what we said earlier in the message. We said that death for a believer is not the end, it's just the beginning. And the same is true for those who are lost. Death is not the end, it's just the beginning, but it's just the beginning of an eternity without Jesus Christ, with no hope. And some may look here and they may say, well, wait a minute, why is God such a God of judgment? Why is God such a God of wrath? Can I say this? God is not a God of judgment and a God of wrath before being a God of mercy and love and grace. See, God has extended mercy to us. He's extended grace to us. He's extended love. We just have to receive that gift of eternal life that He offers to each and every one of us. We have to take it. We have to receive it. And so I've had people ask me the question, how can a loving God, you've probably heard it before, how can a loving God be a God of wrath that could send somebody to hell, ultimately the lake of fire and a place of punishment for all of eternity? And my answer to that is simply this. How could a God of love and mercy and grace be a God who didn't provide a way for you to escape that? See, God, because He's a God of love, because He's a God of mercy and a God of grace, He provided a way for you to escape that punishment. He provided a way for you to escape that judgment. You don't have to be in this group of people who are going to die lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, all right, well, how do I come to know that? How do I get to that place where I can know for sure that I'm going to stand before the throne of God and serve Him and worship Him through all of eternity and not have to suffer this place of torment that we're talking about and have that heavenly rest? The Bible says, number one, you've got to get to a place where you realize that you're a sinner. That sin separates you from God, and there is a punishment that must be dealt with because of your sin. But Jesus came, and He paid the price. He didn't just come because He loved you, although He did come because He loved us, but He didn't just come because of love. He came because He realized that we could not pay the price on our own. So a price had to be paid, and He shed His precious blood. We just sang about it a moment ago. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood that He shed on the cross is sufficient. It is enough to forgive the sins of the entire world. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to receive that gift. So you come to a place where you realize you're a sinner. You realize your sin separates you from God. There's nothing you can do on your own to pay the price for your sin. But God loved you so much. He sent His Son. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He paid the price for you. And He's just telling you now to reach out your hands and take that gift of eternal life. Call on Him and ask Him to be your Savior. My wife and I knocked on the door just yesterday. And we talked to a man. And I asked the man if he knew for sure that he was going to go to heaven. And he said, you know, I feel like there's something I need to do about that. That's what he said to me. I feel like there's something I need to do about that. And then I asked him, I don't know if it's the exact words he said, but something very similar to that. And then I said to him, I said, has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you how you can know for sure? And he said, no, nobody's ever done that. And I asked him if he had time to do that. And he kind of pushed me away. I did at least get the gospel into his hand, told him to read that. And I hope he will. I hope he'll read the gospel. But listen, if you're at a point where you're like that man and you say, I think there's probably something I need to do about that. That just could be God's way of speaking to your heart today and letting you know, yes, you need to deal with it. Today is the day of salvation. And so that you can have this rest He promised you about, would you put your faith in Him today? Number one, we talked about the blessing of a reunion. Number two, we talked about the blessing of rest. Number three, I want you to notice the blessing of rewards. The blessing of rewards. Do you know that if you're a child of God, there are rewards that await you based on what you've done for Christ and why you did what you did for Jesus? Would you look back at Revelation 14 again? You may be there. Look at the end of verse number 13. This is the blessings on those that have gone to stand before the Lord. He says, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, watch this, and their works do follow them. There's going to be a time of reward. Can I say this for those who are saved? When we meet the Lord in the air at the rapture, there's going to be an event that takes place at the rapture called the judgment seat of Christ. As a matter of fact, we know that to be true because of Revelation 22. I'm going to take the time to read it. We were in Revelation 22 just a moment in verse number 12. And it said this. Remember, it said, behold, I come quickly. Remember that? That's the rapture. Behold, I come quickly. Do you notice what Jesus says he has with him when he comes? I'm going to finish the verse. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, he says this. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Aren't you thankful as a child of God that there are rewards that await us for what we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ? We call that event the judgment seat of Christ, where we stand before the Lord and we are not judged for our sin, because our sin has been dealt with when we trusted Christ as our Savior. But instead we are judged according to our works, what we have done and why we have done what we have done for Christ. I often say it this way. God is concerned about what you do, but he is concerned also about why you do what you do for him. What is the motive behind why you do what you do for Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you might want to take time to read that chapter later. We just cannot read all of these verses this morning. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible talks about rewards that will be given for faithful service. Some are going to receive rewards. And the Bible says some are going to suffer loss. What category will you be in that day? That's going to be based upon what you have done for Jesus and why you've done what you've done for him. Now, can I say something quickly to insert so that we make sure that nobody would ever be confused by this? We are not saved by our works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You say, all right, well, what does that mean? That means that when we get saved, good works should follow our salvation. We should want to do things to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of James, and again, we don't have time to look at all of those verses, but in the book of James, the Bible says, he said, show me your faith. James says it this way, show me your faith by your works. Meaning that if you got saved, it should be followed by works. James goes on to say it this way, faith without works is dead. Meaning that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, there should be something you are desiring to do for him and to be faithful about what you do for him. The Bible talks about crowns that we're going to be able to be rewarded with that day when we stand before the Lord. See, these are blessings that await the believer. Blessings that await those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are crowns that are going to be received. As a matter of fact, those that die during that period of the tribulation, after they've gone through persecution and they've been martyred. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. We've got it in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 as well. You want to look up those verses later. That there's a crown that's going to be referred to as the martyr's crown. Meaning that all of those who have given their life for the Lord Jesus Christ are going to receive that crown of reward, a martyr's crown for giving their life for Christ. And the good news is this. We're going to get to take all of those crowns when we stand before the throne of God, and we're going to get to cast them at his feet. Because we are unworthy and he is worthy. Aren't you thankful for those that die in Christ that there is a blessing of rewards that await us? But then I'll give you the last few quickly here, and we'll read just a few verses and we'll be done. I want you to notice number 4, the blessing of rejoicing. The blessing of rejoicing. Oh, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a great rejoicing that takes place. And it's going to be a rejoicing throughout all of eternity. Hey, just like I said, get used to serving the Lord. I hope you're used to having joy in your heart right down here on earth, because you're going to have joy and rejoicing in your heart for all of eternity if you're spending it with Christ. Look at what the Bible says quickly in Revelation chapter number 19. We're going to read just a few more verses in Revelation and we'll be done. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 7, the Bible says this: let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write. What's the next word? Blessed. See, there's a blessing. There's a beatitude in the book of Revelation. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All of those who are saved, the Bible refers to us as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride is going to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to get to be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. All saints are going to get to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb and to be able to rejoice before the Savior who died for us. There's the blessing of rejoicing. Number five, quickly, there's the blessing of reigning. There is the blessing of reigning. The Bible teaches us clearly in the book of Revelation that one day we are going to get to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that's going to be. In Revelation chapter 19 and starting in verse number 11 and going down to verse number 6, the Bible talks about a time period of reign where Jesus is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We call that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a 7-year period of tribulation. There's going to be this marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to take place. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come down to this earth. We refer to it as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 19 and Revelation chapter number 20. And all of those who are saints are going to get to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm going to be in that number. Oh, I'm glad I'm going to be in that number of those who are ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 4, it says this, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and, what's the next word? Reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Skip a verse and go down, if you would, to verse number 6. Blessed, there's another beatitude. The blessings that God has. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Some have said, was that a literal 1,000 years? Yes. 1,000 years that we're going to get to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the blessing of reigning. But real quickly, we don't want to leave without looking at the end of the book of Revelation this morning. I want us to notice the blessing of renewal. The blessing of renewal. Notice what's going to happen for those who are dead in Christ. Would you look at Revelation chapter 21 and look down, if you would, at verse number 3. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven. This is when we have the new heaven and the new earth, where we're going to get to live with Christ for all of eternity, for those who die in Christ. He said, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now notice what God's going to do. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now watch what he does. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be, what is the next two words? No more. Now to me, that speaks of renewal. It speaks of something that is new that's never happened before. Something where he says there's no more. There's been death, but now there's no more. There's been sorrow, there's been crying, there's been pain, but now there's no more. Watch what he says, verse 4. He says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There he says it. Those things that are former, we knew what death was on earth. We knew what sorrow was. We knew what pain was. We knew what suffering was. But now there's a renewal. Now there's a time we're going to get to spend eternity with Christ for all of eternity with no death, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. Because the former things are passed away. He said there are no more. Now I want to encourage you with two verses and I'll be done. Two verses and I'll be done. The first one's in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. It speaks to what we talked about today. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's the Bible saying? Yes, right now here on earth there may be death, sorrow, pain, suffering, valleys of life. But he said it is nothing compared to the glory that awaits you when you get to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And one more verse and I'll be finished. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 17. The Bible says this. It says, for our light affliction, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh yes, we may go through things down here on earth. But he said it is nothing, but that's light affliction and it's just for a moment and it's nothing to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed when we get to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it this way today, for the child of God today, the best is yet to come. Blessings that await those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today, would you come to know him? Would you have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior today? If you do know him, would you spend some time here today, this morning, just rejoicing in the blessings that God has for those who die in Jesus Christ? Father, thank you so much for the message this morning that you've laid upon my heart. I thank you, Lord, that we've been able to journey through the book of Revelation and we've been able to notice in the book of Revelation the things that await those who die in the Lord Jesus Christ.